These past 2 months, I've realized my place is still on the field and not in the stands. That time will come, but it's not now. I love my teammates and I love my supportive family. They make it all possible. I'm coming back for my 23rd season in Tampa. Unfinished business, LFG. To that I say, OMG.
For most guys, a midlife crisis means a sports car, you know, or a chemically enhanced hairline, or lots of jeans with those inexplicably expensive holes in them. But not for Tom Brady at age 44. The GOAT decided to microdose retirement for not even 6 weeks, trying out full-time dad life before giving in to the shocking and also inevitable 23rd season of the most decorated career in NFL history. So today, the man who wrote the literal book on Brady, Seth Wickersham, tells us what all of this means in context and how all of us got it wrong. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, March 15th. This is ESPN Daily.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Seth, where were you when you heard the news?
You mean the news that he was walking away or the news that he was walking back?
The news that he was walking back and putting us into a time machine that was very disorienting late on Sunday night around 7:15 p.m. Eastern, yes.
Yeah, I was at my friend's house and I got the ESPN alert about it. I wasn't continuously on Twitter. And, you know, I think that when you look at that decision, what made it surprising to me was less that he returned, even that he returned after only 41 days in retirement, but that he returned to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the very team that he retired from.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that he is risen, Seth, it's Lent. We have had breadcrumbs along this trail for a while. We'll get into that. Like, that part I was kind of bracing for. But just the blunt, very spare manner of the announcement did catch me by surprise. I was at dinner. I turned my phone off, got out of dinner, trying to be a good friend in general these days, more mindful, more present. And I opened my phone, and there isn't the hype video. There isn't, like, the NFT release. There isn't, I don't know, like, a hidden Wordle message. Like, it's just, here I am, I'm back on Twitter.
There was no doubt about that. It was not only, you know, here I'm back, but, you know, frankly, it almost felt like he never left because...
He didn't miss work, Seth. He technically did not miss work.
No, not at all. And remember, on February 1st when he retired, he didn't use the word retirement, but B, you know, he said he couldn't make that competitive commitment anymore. And it turns out that he can.
It's such a good point. He never said the word retire.
You know, when he was playing with the Patriots, Alex Guerrero, his, you know, controversial body coach and best friend, that's how Brady refers to him as, his best friend.
Yes.
They used to talk about how in some cultures, the word retire didn't even exist. You just simply did what you loved until you decided not to. And, you know, the week and the days that followed his announcement were very odd. He was on Instagram at a teenager's frequency, posting, you know, all the well wishes from luminaries and sports and beyond. He was on vacation in Costa Rica and he was strolling on the beach with his wife. And there was rumors that Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross wanted to offer him a piece of the team. And, you know, all of these things were going on. The sport was moving on without its most famous player. And then a week later, he comes back and he says, you know, I'm just going to take things as they come.
You know, I'm just going to take things as they come. You know, I think that's the best way to put it. And I don't think anything never, you know, you never say never. You know, at the same time, I know that I'm very I feel very good about my decisions.
Yeah, and just to clarify here the language, the vocabulary that Tom Brady did use on February 1st, he said this, quote, "This is difficult for me to write, but here it goes, colon. I am not going to make that competitive commitment anymore, period." And obviously, we inferred some amount of finality, but when you go back and watch the game, the last game that he played, the last competitive commitment that he was involved with, Seth, on January 23rd in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs against the eventual Super Bowl winners, the Los Angeles Rams, what did you see and how does that look actually, more pressingly, in retrospect?
It's interesting because there was a lot of people close to Brady who felt that that game itself was the reason why he didn't want to return to Tampa, that it was a culmination of a Bucs team that just wasn't quite as buttoned up as maybe Brady felt that it should be entering the playoffs.
Touchdown LA! 26-3, the Rams are on the high side in the NFC divisional round.
They fall down 27-3. And of course, Tom Brady is the only human being in this world that you don't turn the channel off of when he's down 27-3 with, you know, less than a half to play. But sure enough, and almost surprisingly enough, he brings the team back. The Rams just completely self-destruct and commit all these dumb plays.
The snap is over the head of Stafford, running for the football. Bucs come up with the ball. We've got it at the 47-yard line. Gonna hit the hole. He is fumbled. Fumble the football. Fumble the football. It's fumbled. It's recovered by the Bucs. Tampa Bay's got the football at the 30-yard line.
And sure enough, it's tied at 27 with 40 some seconds left to go.
Brady's gonna hand it off. It's Fournette. He's gonna take it to the end zone.
This is officially lunacy. 27-27.
At that point, if that game had gone into overtime, I don't think there's anybody who thinks that the Bucs would not have won that game.
Correct.
The Bucs deserved a lot of grief for how that game ended. First of all, they kicked the ball out of the end zone off the kickoff. So no time comes off the clock when it's pretty obvious right then that the clock, as much as the Rams, were their opponent. First down, they sack Matthew Stafford. Second down, he hits Cooper Kupp for 20 yards. And then there's 27 seconds left, and all the Bucs have to do is keep the Rams in bounds and at a field goal range, and they go to overtime. Instead, they call a blitz, isolating Cooper Kupp on a safety. They don't even execute the blitz properly. Matthew Stafford reads it like a children's book and hits Cooper Kupp downfield for the play that ends up setting up the game-winning field goal.
Stafford, deep downfield! He's got Kupp again! He's at the 10. He spikes it there, and Matt Gay will come in and try to win the game.
That's just no way to end a season.
On its way. It is through! It is good! Los Angeles will host the NFC Championship game!
I think there was a sense that the Bucs just weren't as buttoned up as they should have been going into the playoffs, and certainly as much as the Bill Belichick New England Patriots might have been in similar situations.
Yeah, Seth, Tom Brady himself was far less buttoned up than we're used to. He got his first unsportsmanlike penalty of his entire two-decade-long career in that game, speaking to the desperation, seemingly, of the whole enterprise.
Obviously, before that game, our own Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington report that Brady was non-committal about returning to the Bucs, and that's absolutely true. With a month left in the season, there's people close to him who were starting to think that this was his last year. And then obviously, Schefter and Darlington report the news, and Brady comes out and confirms it a couple days later.
After sort of a mini news cycle there in which it was cast into doubt whether Schefter and Darlington had the goods on that report. And then Tom Brady ultimately does confirm that report. And then weeks later now, you know, effectively unconfirms it.
Yeah. And that's a little classic Brady in there. You know, Tom Brady Sr., Brady's father, great guy who sometimes speaks for his son, as sometimes, as his son says, does not speak for him.
Tom Brady Sr., for those unfamiliar, is an incredible sports radio surrogate for Tom Brady Jr.
And he comes out right after Brady announces his return and says, you know, he was never sure about retiring. He did it to get the media off his back. Of course, Tom Brady was a 44-year-old man who wrote that statement, that he was walking away saying he could not make that competitive commitment anymore. But I guess a lot of things can be true. I think it's one of the things that we often forget about with these very ambitious professional athletes is that they can at once feel like retiring and also later come back and realize that they were, you know, maybe kidding themselves and kidding everybody.
Yeah, on some level, Seth, this is like a tale as old as time. It's a cliche. This is the story of virtually every boxer we've ever seen. This is a story of Michael Jordan. This is a story of so many different luminaries in sports. But I want to drill into what makes this particular about Brady, because look, for full disclosure here, you are our Bradyologist. I mean, you have written literally the New York Times best-selling book on him, It's Better to Be Feared, his time with the Patriots with Bill Belichick. You have covered him since his rookie year with the Patriots. You both came into the league together. You've been inside his homes, plural. The psychology of Tom Brady and the apparent like midlife crisis he's experiencing right now, what makes this sort of singular to him?
What makes it singular to him, I think, is that he just simply knows he can continue to play. And remember, I think it was in 2014, he said, you know, when I suck, I'll retire. Mm. And he has yet to suck.
That is
amazing. You know, he was an amazing player last year who showed no sign of dropping off. So I think that there's a love for the game there that he's always had and that simply doesn't go out, even if he got a taste of not being a football player the last 41 days. But alongside that love, I think there's also a fear of what does that look like? And is it as fulfilling as playing the game?
Yeah.
Will it make him as happy as playing the game? You know, back when he was 27 years old, 60 Minutes did a story on him. And it was the tale of a sixth rounder whose steadfast belief in himself turned him into this, you know, guy who won 3 Super Bowls by age 27. And Steve Kroft asked him, is there anything that really scares Tom Brady?
Anything that really scares you? Anything that intimidates you?
The end of my playing career. Big time. Because I know what I feel like in the off season. And when I'm playing football during those 7 months out of the year, you're focused. You know, you got a goal. You got something you're trying to accomplish. And when that's done, you don't have 80,000 people screaming your name. I mean, what's it going to be?
Alongside that love for the game that, like you said, it's a cliche at this point that Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan and all these people have had, I do think that there's a real fear of what life looks like without it. He got a taste of it and he decided he'd rather return to it. I mean, as few as 10 days ago, I don't think the Bucks thought he was coming back. I mean, yes, it's come out that they had conversations with Tom trying to figure out a way to, you know, to make coming back appealing to him. But at the combine, Jason Light, the GM, and Bruce Arians, the head coach, definitely did not strike a tone that made it sound like they were expecting Tom Brady to be their quarterback. They had inquired about Deshaun Watson from the Houston Texans, obviously very different player, very different reputation coming to the Bucs than Tom Brady. When Bruce Arians was asked at the podium if he'd consider letting Brady play for another team like the San Francisco 49ers, he said nope, and he said it was bad for business. Even though Jason Light said, you know, we're keeping the light on for Tom Brady, they were inquiring and prepared to kind of move on. And I think that when Bruce Arians said about Brady that, you know, he likes to have his name out there, maybe more than him returning to play, I think that there's a lot of people close to Tom who believe there was some truth to that. And yet here he is on the eve of free agency returning to play.
And the final breadcrumb, it feels like, Seth, in the whole trail of hints that everyone was tracking here, the trail that led to Brady's unretirement, it came just one day before that Twitter announcement, because Brady was at Old Trafford in Manchester, England, and he was there to watch Cristiano Ronaldo defy age at age 37 himself.
Teles, in it goes!
And then afterwards, We got this video that emerged with Brady and Ronaldo just hanging, chatting on the field post-game.
Great game. Good playing.
We see Brady's son, Ben, getting a jersey signed. And if you listen closely and you can watch the lips here, you can read them. Ronaldo is clearly asking, you're finished, right?
You're finished, right?
And then how would you describe what Tom Brady did in response?
He looked like a guy who was not going to answer yes under any circumstance.
he sort of shrugs his shoulders, right? I mean, you can't really hear it, but he has this sort of like gritted teeth grin, and he sort of like arches his neck a little bit and is just sort of like, yeah, not saying yes to this.
If he's taught the world anything the past two decades, it's that the rules kind of don't apply to him. The moment that people tell him he can't do something, I think his response automatically is, why not? And so I don't think he feels guilty in the least from dragging us through all of these, you know, warm remembrances and all the kind things that we've said about him the past, you know, 41 days, and then returning to the field. I don't think he cares at all.
No, he doesn't really care about our warm remembrances or now our very cold takes. So, Seth, after the break, I want to ask you where the man who can do pretty much whatever he wants, where he wants to take this story next.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Delicious, meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Seth, for people who were sort of assuming that maybe the door wasn't fully closed, maybe the vocabulary was actually quite telling, it felt like San Francisco was the next logical phase in this story, that Brady would unretire, but he would go and be a 49er. How much was that ever realistic in your mind?
I think it was always a long shot. However, it was never quite put to bed. You know, look at what happened the past 41 days. I mean, Brady has been, you know, promoting his Brady brand and TB12. And he announced his first full-length Hollywood film called 80 for Brady about 4 Patriots fans who road trip to Houston for the 28-3 comeback against the Falcons.
And for the record, Tom Brady there is playing the role of, you guessed it, Tom Brady.
But he was one of many icons trying to see if that skill set and stature were transferable to other endeavors. There's a lot of great athletes who have tried to find that same joy and rush and intensity that you get when you're playing in Hollywood or in business. And the simple fact is, nothing replaces it.
What you just described physiologically also describes a high. I mean, this is something that clearly, yeah, he did not find in the world of NFTs. But that didn't seem to give him the same high, not compared to the arena that he always waxes poetic about.
Absolutely not. And you know, this past year, he had become something that he once hated. You know, he had become oversaturated. I mean, he was everywhere. You know, in his early years, they'd win the Super Bowl and people would reach out to him and he'd just be like, no, I am disappearing. I'm going to Europe. I am interviewed out. And now he sort of held this very prized stature in our culture and he showed no interest in exiting that stage except when it came to how he earned that stage in the first place, which was playing football. And it turns out that the other things he knows will be there. But as he once said this, once you stop, you're done. You cannot come back and play football.
So this love that can take on the qualities, seemingly, of also an addiction, that whole like fascinating and fraught mix of emotional circuitry, it also is informed, I presume, by the team that he is going back to. And I wonder how you see what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers look like now.
I think that he did the Bucs a huge solid and did himself a solid by providing some clarity and for, you know, the second time, making the Bucs a big destination. Like all of a sudden, all these players, Leonard Fournette, who had posted a picture seemingly indicating that he was on his way out from Tampa, went and deleted that photo. It looks like the band is getting back together, and it's a very, very good band. You know, Brady's the leader of it, and it's interesting. I mean, he's an old football player, but he's a young man. And even though I think he feels like that he was just getting started in these other endeavors, I think there's something very essential to him where he doesn't ever want to feel like he's plateaued. And so there's always new things to try to do. Each season is brand new. There are always limitless possibilities, and all he has to do is summon the courage to try, to go out there. And the fact that he would come back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a quarterback, as improbable as it seemed during the final month of the season and maybe over the course of the last 41 days, in a weird way, it makes perfect sense because he is always a quarterback. He is first a quarterback. That's who he is.
And now he kind of does need some help, right? I mean, that's the story of where this offseason goes next, because he needs help on the defense. He needs help, especially for his needs, along the offensive line. There is great flux there. He needs guards to help fill in and shore up the porousness of what seems like a problem on this team. But for him specifically, for his own like ability to preserve himself, did you ever get the sense that he had stopped TB12ing it up, that he had sort of changed his routine during those 40 plus days? What did that look like as you understood it?
I don't think it was ever not going to be the case with him. I think that whenever he does retire, I doubt that, you know, you're going to see him in Subway commercials where all of a sudden he allows himself to actually eat the bread. I just think that that's who he is. He was always going to continue this regimen, whether he is playing or not. I just don't think that, like, as he's aged, the gap between Tom Brady, the quarterback, and what he needs to do to be at his very best for, you know, 20-some Sundays a year, as it usually ends up being, and Tom Brady, the human being, I don't think that that's widened. And I think that when he was in his 20s, he was once talking about, why do quarterbacks trail off in their 30s? Well, it's because they have kids, they get married, they don't have the time to dedicate to the game like they used to, and that's part of the reason why they trail off. And, you know, he used it as an argument of saying, like, I'm not having kids young, I'm not going to get married young, you know, I'm not going to be one of those guys. And obviously, life changed. You know, he had children, he did get married, but he figured out a way to make the system work for him. He figured out a way to not trail off with age and instead improve basically every season since 2013. You know, I would never read too much into the fact that Tom Brady in retirement was spotted with a gallon, you know, a jug of water, because I just think that that's who he is and that's how he lives.
Well, you know, you mentioned a couple of things I want to dive into, but the family, that system, the arrangement he has with Giselle, a supermodel wife, and their kids and their family, like, Seth, for those who are not familiar with how fraught that dynamic had been previously, how would you characterize it? And what do you think this decision suggests about how that dynamic is still being negotiated and navigated?
Well, Gisele Bündchen, his wife, and obviously an icon in her own right, has, you know, been very public in her desire for him to retire. But I don't think that she was the driving reason behind this. You know, I think that Brady himself was the driving reason behind retiring and then behind unretiring. Clearly, I think that they supported him.
And so Gisele, for the record, comments on Tom Brady's most recent Instagram post. Here we go again, exclamation point. Let's go, Lovey, exclamation point. Let's go, Bucks, exclamation point.
Here we go again.
Here we go again.
That's a good way of putting it.
yeah, that is how I feel. That is exactly the nightmare that many people in the AFC East, or now the NFC South, are all reliving. But I'm curious about that dynamic that he has in Tampa, because it is different, Seth, from what he had in the AFC East. As you know better than anyone on this planet, it is very different from what he had with the Patriots and Bill Belichick. And so his relationship with the Glazer family, the owners of the team, and Bruce Arians, and how that relates to Alex Guerrero in Tampa Bay, how would you describe what he has in front of him in terms of keeping all of the people in his life still very much in his inner circle while still being in the locker room?
Well, his final couple years in New England, I think that he had just been shown limits as to what he was going to be. Limits as to how much the head coach was invested in him over the long term. Limits to, you know, his stature within the Bill Belichick system in the famously successful Patriot way. Alex Guerrero, who came out before the Bucs played the Patriots this past year and said, you know, Bill Belichick failed to evolve to account for who Tom Brady was, instead treating him, you know, like the sixth round rookie that he was 20 some years ago. And while I don't think that's fair, I think it's fair to say that it felt that way at times. And in Tampa, I think that his stature reflects his reality and he can play by rules that are just his. And he can be the quarterback of the team. He can be a pseudo offensive coordinator. He can be a personnel executive. He can be a legal tamperer, if that's even a phrase. And sure enough, the Bucs just played this thing right. And here he is 41 days later, and they have the best move of the offseason, frankly.
And as the powers of Tom Brady are concerned, Seth, you did mention before how his ability to defy every actuarial table is not by any means incidental. It is actually the thing that Tom Brady has come to understand and showcase better than anybody who's ever played sports, it seems like. And we had Dave Epstein, our friend and sports science writer, on last year to talk about the longevity of Brady. And he kept on making this point that the things that he has to do in the pocket don't actually even require elite physiology. Like, Tom Brady has a very good arm that'll deteriorate over time. But Dave called it these sorts of flashcards of perceptual decision making and the ability for Tom Brady to catalog those and to flip through them pre-snap as fast as anybody we've ever seen. And I wonder how that assessment sounds to you, and I wonder what it may foreshadow about what we're going to get this season.
He's always been great at that. It's a piece of his game that has not dropped off at all. The ability to kind of just feel where pressure might be coming from and get rid of the ball just soon enough so that he either doesn't take a hit or the hit that he takes is so much softer than it would have been if he was still holding the ball. I think it's something he's always done well, and it's one of those things that served him well, because people like John Elway, people who kind of almost invite contact and play a version of street ball, we never think they're going to be good old quarterbacks, right? Whereas like Tom Brady has the perfect old man quarterback game.
And this perfect old man quarterback game is now giving us all opportunities to get it wrong again. I mean, it's remarkable how wrong everybody in our business has fundamentally been over time with Tom Brady. And all of it raises a question, Seth, that I want your particular vantage point on, because I wonder, what do you think Bill Belichick is thinking watching this news cycle now go the way it has?
I'm sure he's not surprised that Brady is coming back. But yeah, I mean, things have changed so much for the Patriots in the 2 years since Brady left New England. You know, when he left, I mean, obviously, it's him and Patrick Mahomes at the top of the AFC in terms of quarterbacks. Now, the AFC is almost overpopulated with good young quarterbacks. You have Burrow, you have Mahomes, you have Allen. You have Lamar Jackson.
Herbert.
Yeah, Herbert. You have so many good young players. And in New England, you have Mac Jones, who finished his rookie year and clearly showed the world that he's going to be a competent NFL quarterback. And you just wonder if competence is even good enough in the AFC anymore, or if he has to be great. And at the end of the day, Belichick, the one person in the world who should have known better than to underestimate Tom Brady, underestimated him by essentially showing him the door and opening it for him to walk out of. And he did. And here's Tom Brady again, going on season number 23, and he'll be 45 years old when week one hits.
It is remarkable. Just we're at a Law and Order level with Tom Brady, just like season after season after season after season in syndication for all time. And at the very end here, Seth, I suppose I also want to ask you about someone who maybe overestimated the man as opposed to underestimate the man, because I can't help but think about the guy who paid reportedly $500,000 for the final touchdown ball that Tom Brady threw. This was one day, literally one day, before he announced that actually not the final touchdown ball that I'm going to throw here. What would you say to this guy if you had the opportunity to have an audience with a man who clearly must have some amount of buyer's remorse?
I'm actually looking at this like a great PR opportunity where, yes, you know, maybe he throws his first touchdown pass and grabs it and finds the guy after the game to give it to him. Because clearly that guy, you know, joining the legions of people who obviously, as you said, have been wrong about Tom Brady. As much as we talk about his love for the game and his fear of what life might look like without it, I think there's another element that's addictive to Tom Brady that we sometimes don't talk about. And that's that the feeling of just getting started, the feeling of that blank canvas and the possibilities being limitless. I think that like that's something that really drives him. It's one of those reasons why outsiders say, look at all you've accomplished. Look at all these things you have. Why aren't you happy? Why aren't you satisfied? And I think it's one of those innate and basic things that we often overlook, that he simply loves that blank canvas. I think that's another reason why he's back. I just think that he sees another opportunity, and why not see what he can do with it?
So what you're also saying, Seth, is that the poor sap who bought that football can also take solace in the fact that he's probably not going to be the only person to buy a football that gets billed as Tom Brady's final touchdown, only to discover pretty soon after that, in fact, it's not Tom Brady's final touchdown ball.
Probably won't be, but I can guarantee you that I will not be one of those people buying those footballs.
Seth Wickersham, I look forward to talking to you after the next unretirement. But until then, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, man.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.